I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering. It's a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, please click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's now join together in song with hymn number 48 from the Christian Science Hymnal. Just a reminder, the link to the words of this hymn are on our website on Follow the Meeting page. Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's readings is Obedience to Divine Law. We just sung hymn number 48, and the other two hymns are 396 and 203. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Bible, beginning with Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have here commanded you, that it may be well with you. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imaginations of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down to it, to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Now from the book of Daniel. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. Then the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the princes of the kingdom, of the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went up into his house, and his windows being open to the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lion? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, but they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? Now from the New Testament, Luke and 2 Corinthians. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And finally, from Jeremiah and Galatians. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Now I'll read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. To obey the scriptural command, come out from among them and be separate, is to incur society's frown. To ascertain our progress, we must learn where our affections are placed and whom we acknowledge and obey as God. Who is it that demands our obedience? He who in the language of Scripture doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He who knows God's will or the demands of divine science and obeys them incurs the hostility of envy, and he who refuses obedience to God is chastened by love. The Christianly scientific man reflects the divine law, thus becoming a law unto himself. To obey the scriptural command, come out from among them and be ye separate, is to incur society's frown, but this frown, more than flatteries, enables one to be a Christian. Mortals are inclined to fear and to obey what they consider a material body more than they do a spiritual God. We bow down to matter and entertain finite thoughts of God like the pagan idolater. The idols of civilization are far more fatal to health and longevity than are the idols of barbarism. The idols of civilization call into action less faith than Buddhism in a supreme governing intelligence. The Eskimo restore health by incantations as consciously as do civilized practitioners by their more studied methods. Is civilization only a higher form of idolatry, that man should bow down to a flesh brush, to flannels, to baths, diet, exercise, and air? Nothing save divine power is capable of doing so much for man as he can do for himself. Deductions from material hypotheses are not scientific. They differ from real science because they are not based on the divine law. Obedience to the so-called physical laws of health has not checked sickness. Diseases have multiplied since man-made material theories took the place of spiritual truth. If we are sensibly with the body and regard omnipotence as a corporeal material person whose ear we would gain, we are not absent from the body and present with the Lord in the demonstration of spirit. We cannot serve two masters. To be with the Lord is to be in obedience to the law of God, to be absolutely governed by divine love, by spirit, not by matter. Sorrow is turned into joy when the body is controlled by spiritual life, truth, and love. The demands of God appeal to thought only, but the claims of mortality, and what are termed laws of nature, appertain to matter. Which, then, are we to accept as legitimate and capable of producing the highest human good? We cannot obey both physiology and spirit, for one absolutely destroys the other, and one or the other must be supreme in the affections. It is impossible to work from two standpoints. If we attempt it, we shall presently hold to the one and despise the other. Mind's government of the body must supersede the so-called laws of matter. Obedience to material law prevents full obedience to spiritual law, the law which overcomes material conditions and puts matter under the feet of mind. Mortals entreat the divine mind to heal the sick and forthwith shut out the aid of mind by using material means, thus working against themselves in their prayers and denying man's God-given ability to demonstrate mind's sacred power. The law of Christ or truth makes all things possible to spirit, but the so-called laws of matter would render spirit of no avail and demand obedience to materialistic codes, thus departing from the basis of one God, one lawmaker. Divine mind rightly demands man's entire obedience, affection, and strength. No reservations made for any lesser loyalty. Obedience to truth gives man power and strength. Truth casts out all evils and materialistic methods with the actual spiritual law, the law which gives sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, voice to the dumb, feet to the lame. God creates and governs the universe, including man. The universe is filled with spiritual ideas which he evolves, and they are obedient to the mind that makes them. Controlled by the divine intelligence, man is harmonious and eternal. Truth, life, and love are the only legitimate and eternal demands on man. And they are spiritual lawgivers, enforcing obedience through divine statutes. Let us rid ourselves of the belief that man is separated from God, and obey only the divine principle, life and love, working and praying with true motives, your Father will open the way. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?
Lord, I need your love.